Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So the Buffalo Bills, they lose again last night. They were defeated by the Miami Dolphins by a score of 50-0.
Are you dyslexic? You read it wrong.
Son of a... Oh, damn it. They won.
America's team.
They're not America's team just because there's red, white, and blue in the logo.
They are America's team.
Nobody cares about Buffalo except for our current guest. It is Scott Jagow from the KMOX newsroom from Buffalo, New York, and our resident Bills fan who enjoyed the game last night at the Shamrock.
For the most part, it was a little nerve-wracking in the fourth quarter.
Agreed.
It was tied up.
Agreed.
Yeah, but they won.
But it's a division game on a short week. It's expected that sometimes you're not going to blow every team out. And the Dolphins came in 0-2 and desperate. So I'm happy with the 10-point win.
And they looked a lot better than I expected last night, did the Dolphins.
Well,
now Tua didn't show us much.
Well, I mean, he was pretty good. He's good when he has his first read. And once it gets off script a little bit, he's not quite as good. And he tends to throw interceptions, which he did yesterday.
He did, at a critical moment. Now, I will say... that I do have some concerns about our defense there in Buffalo, Scotty.
What do you mean? Hold on. What do you mean our defense?
Yeah. Huh? I'm a Bills guy.
Since when?
Since 1997.
So you came in after the Super Bowl?
Yeah,
appearances?
No. I had the Bills were my team on Madden Football.
Oh, that's right. It was Madden.
And my father-in-law would square off, and he's from Detroit, so he would take the Lions, which stunk then. And I had Jim Kelly, I had Andre Reed, Thurman Thomas.
Yeah, good team.
It was a fine team. Don Beebe.
Yeah, and last night, I can't believe they showed the wide right kick from the first Super Bowl. Like, why did they need to do that?
Just to remind you.
I mean, just to
remind you of
us.
It's to remind you of what that organization really is.
Okay.
That's it, just
okay.
So you know.
I feel really good about this team. The defense, I think... We're getting some players back. We had two starters out last night.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
And two are coming in like week 6 or 7 that have been on the shelf. So I actually think they're going to be good. I think this is our best chance.
This is the year.
Yeah,
this is it. We finally arrived.
I'm not going to jinx it, though.
2025.
Well, I'm so tired of having to be happy for other people's teams.
All
right. So last night I saw your outfit. You had a big hat. What's going on with that outfit?
Oh, the hat. So I take these two like...
So I just want everybody to understand that Scott Jagow is like an insane insane sports fans that you know about. Okay, that they get like dressed up, and I can't believe you don't wear buffalo horns. Like I'm surprised you'd stop before that. But anyway, Scott is really into his football team,
buffalo,
and I love
horns.
It.
Well, what happened was, I bring these two footballs. You know, they're like Nerf size footballs, but they're real footballs. And they're my two lucky footballs.
Your stress footballs.
Yes.
Because you squeezed them the whole game because you're freaking out.
Yes. They're squeezing footballs.
But here's what happens, though. Occasionally, people have been taking them and mistaking them for their football or whatever, and I get a little anxious about it. I want to have my two footballs. So what they did as a prank on me is they bought me a basket of little footballs. Mm. And a huge hat, one of those just enormous baseball hats that looks like a huge 10-gallon, like...
Yeah, they look
hilarious.
Really stupid.
Yeah. Anyway, so they put a sign on the basket that says, please feel free to take and play with one of Scott's little balls, but please do not take and play with his big balls.
You don't want to. You don't want to play with a man's big balls.
No, okay.
He gets anxious when people start coming up there and wrestling with his big balls. He's trying to squeeze those things.
You don't want that.
No.
So Scott, congratulations. But I do think that if you have to squeeze a stress ball during the course of the game, we might have to have a talk.
No, I've actually been really calm.
You cannot talk to Scott. When you go to the Shamrock and the Bills are playing, you cannot talk to Scott. You can go up and say hello, and then you need to leave.
His gaze is fixed.
You need to go up and you say, hey, Scott, how you doing?
I'm doing better.
So I want you to go, if you ever want to meet Scott Jagow, go during a Buffalo Bills game to the Shamrock.
Mm-hmm. Without
walk
fail.
Up, walk up and find him, say hello, and then quietly leave. Do not say anything else to him.
And don't touch the man's balls.
And don't tell him you're leaving. Just leave. That's what you need to do. All right, so congrats on your football team being good. Where do you want to go next? Travis Dumack? Or
well,
do you want to...
roaming St. Louis, let me just quickly say that this week I went to this place called Hello Juice.
There are two I know about it. Yeah.
Okay, there are two locations, one in the Grove, one in Kirkwood. And this month is September is a... is awareness of ovarian cancer. Mm-hmm. So they have a specific smoothie. And I'm wearing the hat. It's a teal-colored STL hat because that's their color, the organization called SLOCA.
Yep.
St. Louis Ovarian Cancer Awareness.
Yep, we've had them in studio.
Okay, so you
really
you know,
nice people.
Yeah, and it's one of those that is under the radar a little bit. It's hard to diagnose. The woman that I spoke with, she got it when she was 23 years old. And, you know, 4 decades later, she's a survivor. So
great.
But she thankfully persisted with the doctors and said, I know I'm only 23, but something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so they have linked up with some companies, and one of them is Hello Juice. Also a good story, local entrepreneurs who created it. It's all, you know, they have bowls and smoothies and juices and waffles and all kinds of stuff. Cool place.
Great spot. Mm-hmm. You had a conversation with Stumack.
Yeah.
And he was having some trouble with Gemini, which is the artificial intelligence search engine, or I don't know if you want to call it a search engine, but it is Google's artificial intelligence that you can utilize.
Well, they just installed it permanently in Chrome yesterday. Anyways, a couple of weeks ago when Charlie Kirk was assassinated, he tried to get information, as he does a lot of times, through Gemini to confirm things, facts, analyzing a news story. And he said Gemini's really good, except in this case, Gemini would not agree that Charlie Kirk had been assassinated the day before.
What?
Yeah. Stu was talking to Gemini like a person, like, open your eyes, AI. Open your eyes, Gemini. I have links here from AP and Fox and everybody else. And for some reason, Gemini stuck to the thing that it was a fake news story. It didn't exist. These were fake news links. And this went on for 6 pages of a printout.
Wow. Hmm.
And Gemini was like, I'm sorry you're frustrated, but I cannot in good conscience. Gemini said, I am a helpful and harmless AI assistant, which I thought was an interesting turn of phrase.
Hmm.
And
did this thing use the word good conscience?
I don't think
Gemini have a conscience.
Well, no, obviously. I think the algorithm might have been protecting from false information by, you know, if there's a death of somebody famous, perhaps the algorithm says, let's be cautious about putting that out there. But the number of links Stu put in there, like a dozen, and the AI would not agree.
Here's what's really interesting about this is my experience with Gemini or with it's primarily Gemini is that the results, if you type in the same thing twice in a row, sometimes you get completely different results the second time. So I wonder what that is, because right now I'm just testing it out for myself. And I said, what happened to Charlie Kirk? I asked Gemini that, and it said Charlie Kirk was assassinated by a gunshot September 10th, 2025, while speaking at a public event at Utah Valley University. And then it goes on about the suspect and so on and so forth. So I don't know. I wonder if different to me, it, my guess is different people are getting different results, and I'm not sure why that would happen.
Well, this was the day after it happened.
Okay, so and, it's been fixed since then?
Yeah, and I think Gemini is not designed necessarily for the time relevance, because actually he asked, it kept saying future. This is in the future. This is a future fictional event that you're telling me about.
So maybe the information hadn't caught up yet in his search. In Gemini's search.
But Gemini was saying it was September 10th or prior. And Stu goes, what day do you think this is? Mm-hmm. And Gemini says, it's September 11th at 6:30 a.m. And Stu's like, yes, exactly. This happened yesterday. So open your eyes, Gemini.
Wow. Well, you know, my company does opposition research for political campaigns. And so I've been fearful for some time that AI is going to put that part of my business out of business. Hmm. And we were doing a research book on somebody 2 years ago. And so my partner, who does the research, he got on ChatGPT and asked for, you know, give me every vote that they've ever cast on gun control, for example. Mm-hmm. And the information he got back when he went to verify it, a couple of the things were just wrong. Like the Jet said that she voted no, and he went back and she voted yes. Mm-hmm. And there were two of those. So you can't take everything these AI things generate as the gospel truth, because they get it wrong.
Well, speaking of books, there's a new one out. It's pretty scary. It's called, the title is, And If Anyone Builds It, Everyone Dies. That is the name of the book. It's by these two AI luminaries who signed a letter a couple years ago saying, you have to be careful with what AI might potentially be in the future. Mm-hmm. And so their research says that sufficiently smart AIs will develop goals of their own that put them in conflict with human beings. And that if it comes to a conflict, an artificial superintelligence would crush humanity without a whiff. I mean,
wow.
Yeah. Now, this sounds alarmist, and maybe they have, but their opinions or their thoughts about this are, they go back like 25 years. They've been studying artificial intelligence for a long time, and they're worried that in the book, they apparently have a path to avoid this. But they're just trying to raise the flag to say, look, this thing is just steamrolling, and who knows what it's going to be in 5 or 10 years.
Yeah.
I think there are some really good uses for it, potentially.
Sure.
It does concern me, the people who are responsible for creating it and making it better, the improvements over the years. I don't trust them to not push it.
Yeah.
To not push what it can do in a negative sense. Because I think that the majority of them, even though they talk about how we need to have guardrails for artificial intelligence, I think they're just saying it. I think most of them, their ambition is, let's see how far we can push this. That's just how their mindsets are. So I don't trust them.
Yeah. No.
So it does make me nervous. And I hope we're able to reel it in so that we can have it as a useful tool and nothing more than that. But there, I do have concerns that the people in charge of creating, designing, improving all of these systems don't have those internal guardrails, and nobody's making them have them. We don't have government rules that say you can't. So I don't know how this is going to go.
I'm there with you. I think it's scary, because what you're saying is the people that are going to push this farther and farther into the future in terms of creating something that's super intelligent AI, they might lose control of it.
Yeah.
And that's the point.
Yeah. Because their driving force is, what more can we do with this? How much further can we take this? That's the only thing they're thinking. They're never going to get to a point where they say, okay, guys, we've figured it out. This is good.
Yeah. No,
this is good.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You know, and you're going to have, these systems are going to be running our power grids and any number
John,
of things.
John, we're going to have to figure out as a society what we do when artificial intelligence replaces jobs, because it will replace a lot of jobs that people have.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to figure out, how are these people going to make money and live? That's, we have to. And that's, I would think, our greatest concern. It's not the robots taking over and killing us like Skynet. It's not that. It's what happens when people are out of work. So, yeah. Scott Jagow, Roaming St. Louis, yep. Three Good Things.
Well, that's
Chat
a happy thought.
Well, you started it. Actually,
did?
No, Scott
was
did.
Was it me that
it
started it?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Go back and watch your Bills
we're trying
play.
To I'm sorry, man. Who do the Bears have this week?
Cowboys.
Oh, that's right. Oh, man.
They can actually win this one. They should.
Yeah, the Cowboys' defense is terrible.
Yeah, so they should run up the score, but I don't trust them to do that.
Well, they got that Micah Parsons guy. Oh.
They don't.
Wait, let's see. Do I trust AI companies to reel it in, or do I trust the Bears to score more than 30 points?
It's a tough one.
Oh, man. I think it's about the same.
Yeah.
All right. Scott Jagow.
Sunday morning, 6:30 to 9:30.
Can't wait.
It's Chris and Amy's show. John Hancock is in with us on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris, we are so happy that you and Amy did not lose your jobs because of the comments you made on Charlie Kirk. You know, there's better minds at KMOX in the leadership than there is on some of these other channels like ABC.
Mary? Linda? Close enough. Linda, using the voice message feature on the Odyssey app, you could do the same thing.
Yes.
Yeah, Amy and I didn't really say anything objectionable. I mean, you may not agree with stuff that I or she has to say, but there's no fireable offenses here. So, and I think that you can make the argument that what Kimmel did was not a fireable offense. He may have been wrong in suggesting the shooter was MAGA. Or on that side, it looks like he may have been left-leaning, but we don't know the exact motivation of why he did what he did. The people he interacted with on Discord were kind of confused as to what in the hell he was doing. So we know his parents were conservative. He was raised in a conservative household. He was a Second Amendment person, allegedly, but also did not like Charlie Kirk and whatever hate, and that was the word he used, that he felt Kirk spewed. We don't know. We don't know exactly what drove him to do that.
I mean, the kid's sick. I mean, he's, you know.
Well, clearly he's nuts.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's definitionally what he did is an act of a maniac.
I think that, but this goes back to the thing we talked about in the immediate aftermath of the murder. And since then, it's the thing I've been saying is that I'm not interested in playing the tally game here. Like, let's keep score. How many right-wing political violence instances are there in the last 60 years, and how many left-wing political violence instances are there? I'm not interested in keeping score. If you want to do that, you can go look it up for yourself, because those numbers are readily available for you. What I'm interested in is putting an end to it right now, because otherwise it's going to be a never-ending cycle. Of the left does something, the right blames the left. The right does something, the left blames the right. The left does something, the right blames the left. We just keep doing this over and over and over and over again. But at some point, I said this yesterday, at some point, the adult has to say, all right, kids, stop fighting. I don't care which one of you is more right than the other. This is enough. This is it. Stop blaming the other one. We're all done now. That's the way it has to be.
Well, and there's certainly what is certainly true is that there are enough people who are deeply disturbed, who have glommed on to political ideologies and who are capable of doing something tragic like shooting someone else. There are enough people out there easily triggered with rhetoric and online activities and conspiracy theories and on and on and on that we as a society should not be encouraging them. We should be discouraging people from acting on their very worst impulses because there's no shortage of folks out there that are capable and even perhaps desirous of going out and committing some kind of heinous, horrific act.
Yeah, and so, again, we all need to take ownership of it, and unless we can... If we can't stop this, yeah, but you did this thing, that whataboutism, we're just going to keep doing it over and over. It'll just be never ending. So we can either be adults about it or we cannot.
Politics is supposed to be a nonviolent mechanism to resolve our societal differences. And at its best, that's what politics is. And the idea that somehow it's okay to go, you know, end the life of people you disagree with is a repugnant ideology, and it's as far away from what politics ought to be as anything.
Yeah, and like I've said a thousand times, I did not agree with Charlie Kirk on much of anything. I think his politics are nuts to me. I think some of his positions are insane, but he did not deserve to be harmed because of them. Nobody deserves to be harmed because of their opinions in any way.
No,
murder's out of the question.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't punch somebody because you don't like what they have to say. You can't smack them in the face. If you want to shout at them, okay, fine, yell at them. If you want to debate them, yeah, go ahead, debate them. Of course, that's what this is all about. But you don't get to physically hurt somebody because you don't like their politics.
Yeah.
If that were the case, I'd physically hurt a lot of people because there are a lot of people whose politics I don't agree with.
That?
But that's not how this works.
Ron's out there wailing about.
But I wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't.
Because it's not how it works.
No, it's not how
it works.
No.
John Hancock, Chris Ranji on KMOX. John is in for Amy Marks-Kors. I think she's back next week.
Monday.
How do you know?
Well, that's because nobody asked me to come in, Mike.
Okay, she must be back then.
Yeah.
When we come back, the senior manager of the regional training facility with City SC, with City's Futures. So this is sort of like, I guess you'd liken it to the RBI program that Major League Baseball has and getting younger people excited about soccer.
A lot of young people love the soccer out there.
Right? It's huge.
Big.
And City SC is big in that as well, obviously. Adam Brown is the senior manager of regional training with City. Adam joins us next on KMOX. City SC is getting closer to the end of their season here in 2025. In fact, they're going to play tomorrow against San Jose. It's a 9:30 start. And just a couple more left, and then that's pretty much it for the City SC. But we wanted to do things a little differently today. Normally, we talk to Dale Schilly, who is in the midst of traveling. He is on his way to San Jose. He'll be on the call on Y98 City Soccer tomorrow night. But right now, we are joined by senior manager of regional training with City Futures. It is Adam Brown on KMOX. Adam, we appreciate you. How are you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing okay. So let's talk about this program, what the City Futures Initiative is. My take on it from reading about it is that it is very similar to baseball's RBI program and getting kids more interested in soccer. That's what the RBI program does. It gets kids interested in baseball and brings it to neighborhoods that may not be playing it. Is that sort of what the City Futures Initiative is?
Yeah. We're doing something along the same lines. You know, when the club started off, they wanted to commit to supporting and building a community in a lot of different ways. And one of those is through grassroots youth soccer. So we have a number of free programs, designed to get soccer access to kids in neighborhoods and areas that maybe traditionally lacked access to quality soccer coaching. Yeah, so that's our mission, to have kids fall in love with the game. And we also have a social emotional learning component to our program. So while we have the kids out on the field, we can teach them skills that they can use in other parts of their lives as well. So even if they don't go on to become, you know, serious soccer players, we hope that they take something away from our programs.
I got to believe that, certainly in the St. Louis community, I got to believe that soccer is probably the most participated in youth sport, isn't it?
You know, I don't know for sure. I think it's the you know, most popular youth sport in the country. And the thing that's interesting about the U.S. is, you know, traditionally soccer here has been a pay-to-play sport. So typically played in the suburbs, you know, by middle to upper middle class kids, because the fees for clubs can be, you know, a little bit high for lower income families. So there are some neighborhoods and areas that, you know, don't have many clubs, don't have a lot of access to programming. And those are the areas that we're focusing on, just giving those kids an opportunity to experience the sport. And if they enjoy it, hopefully go on and keep playing.
What are some creative ways that you have to be able to introduce kids to the sport who may not have had access to it otherwise?
Sure. Yeah. Well, one thing is all our programs are free across the board. And we also try to take our programs to neighborhoods, like I said, that have traditionally lacked access. So we're hosting, you know, clinics and training sessions in neighborhoods all over the region, and trying to make it, bring the soccer to those areas so that it's easy, it's accessible, both financially and geographically. Another thing we're doing, we just launched this year, we're going into PE classes at schools and teaching a week of soccer training in those PE classes. So we can reach a lot of kids who maybe wouldn't sign up for something, maybe don't know about soccer as much or the club, but we get to introduce them to the club and then also the sport in their gym classes.
That's cool. Do most of our grade schools have a field sufficient to host a soccer game?
You know, we design it for a gym. So most elementary schools do have a gym, and you know, we're dealing with class sizes of anywhere from like 15 to 30 kids. And we can manage that in a gym period. So we usually use the indoor space.
We're talking to Adam Brown, Senior Manager of Regional Training with City Futures, and you've got a tournament program that is coming up here next month. Can you tell people about it?
Yeah, so this is our second year doing this tournament. It's sponsored by American Family Insurance, and it's called the All STL Street Soccer Cup. And this is a tournament that's hosted on our mini pitches that we've built. So in partnership with AmFam and U.S. Soccer Foundation, we have committed to build 11 mini pitches around the region before the World Cup. And we've already built five of those to date. And we want to activate those mini pitches and have kids playing on them and make the kids in the neighborhoods that they're aware that they're there. So we're hosting this tournament. It's in October. We're going to have qualifiers on October 4th and 5th. And then the final will be on October 11th at DeSoto Park downtown. And, you know, the final is a big event. American Family Insurance brings in a lot of games, a DJ, food trucks. We have City SC first team players there. Joey Zanaboni and Hector Vega are commentating for the final game. So it's kind of a big blowout fun experience for the family. But yeah, like I said, the goal of that is to make people aware in those neighborhoods that these mini pitches are there. They're always open and free for kids to come play on. And that's what we hope, is that beyond our programming, kids just take the initiative themselves and continue to play and learn the sport on their own.
If people are interested in learning more about City Futures, just go to stlcitysc.com, and then you can find all the information there. It's really cool stuff, and the program is very neat, and I think that we are all happy that City is doing this, Adam. Thank you for being with us and telling everyone about it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Adam Brown, Senior Manager of Regional Training with City Futures. You can just, again, go to stlcitysc.com. It is under the community section. You go to the community section. There's the three dots. Community, you find it right there, and then you will see City Futures. Wow. It's very, very cool stuff.
Took me right back to 1974 there, Ranj.
1974?
Yep. It took me right back. Proud member of the Berkeley Bombers.
So this was 2 years after you fought
beat
a kid.
Beat the tar out of Keith Gentry.
Yeah, okay.
No, but I was a goalkeeper for the Berkeley Bombers back in 74.
Oh.
And we had a logo made for us. We're sponsored by Superior Metals Heating and Cooling.
I love Superior Metals.
And our little logo that was designed, I think, by Coach McCann's wife, Mrs. McCann, was a little circle with Snoopy kicking a soccer ball and a bomb over his head because we were the Berkeley
Bombers. Right.
Quite a soccer club we were back in the day.
How many games you win?
Not many. We had Timmy Taylor,
Timmy Taylor,
one of the great strikers
in
the sport of the fourth grade. And, it was a great, his father was the mayor of Berkeley at the time.
Mayor of Berkeley?
He was.
Did he get preferential treatment?
Timmy was a good athlete. And, he was my buddy. I think they lived on St. Olaf back in the day.
St. Olaf.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the great streets in Berkeley, Missouri.
Berkeley, Missouri. Mm-hmm. Is St. Olaf, wasn't that the town that, what sitcom was that? Was it Golden Girls?
Yes.
Somebody was from St. Olaf?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
It was Wisconsin, I think, or Minnesota.
Okay, okay.
But St. Olaf is a street right there. My buddy Daryl Rice lived on St. Olaf.
Daryl Rice.
Yeah. Yeah, great guy.
I played youth soccer.
I'm sure you did.
I played 1 year.
Yeah?
1 year.
How'd you do?
I believe we played 6 games.
Yeah.
That I remember.
Yeah.
And we scored 1 total goal. That's what I remember.
Well, that's soccer. I mean, that's no different than the professionals.
The Novosich Meat Market Bulls.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yep. One goal.
The meat market.
And a kid named Sonny scored that goal.
What did you play? What was your position on that?
Well, it was at the time when it's just a mob.
Oh, okay.
Everybody's running around the ball in one big glob.
Yeah.
That's what we were doing
back
then.
That makes it harder to score, when you got a bunch of kids around the ball.
Years later, my soccer coach was murdered. We are not going to talk about that. Very bad.
It's horrible, Ron.
Yeah, it's horrible. Ugh. I mean, it's pretty bad.
Did his wife kill him? Yeah.
No. It was a lunatic. Huh. Out on the loose. It was bad.
Boy, that is bad.
Yeah, now what?
The show's been kind of a downer today, in my humble opinion.
What are you talking about?
Well, we talked about the artificial
intelligence.
Destroying the world and,
artificial intelligence
is
not good.
You hate when you create something that ends up destroying the world. I mean, that's, usually makes for a bad day.
Look, your day is going to be much better from here on out.
I can't wait. We got the Battle Sharks coming in here.
No, it's the, come on, John, it's the Battle Hawks
that's
are
what
coming
I'm talking
up
about.
At 11. We got the
wait.
No Prize Pick'em, or No Prize Football Pick'em.
Do I get to pick?
No, yes. We have Battle Hawks defensive back Cam Kelly and tight end Jake Sutherland in studio participating in the No Prize Pick'em.
Can't wait.
So they're going to be here. John Hancock is here. Chris Ranji is here. That's me. We'll also talk to Danon Hughes, the Chiefs. They don't want to go 0-3 to start the year. Will they beat the Giants? We'll talk to Dana next hour, too, on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We We have tickets to give away to see Jordan Davis at Chaffetz Arena September 27th. You got to be listening for your chance to win on that one.
Yep.
This is the last day, too. So, man, if you don't win today, then you're out. It's today.
Today or never. Later this morning.
Correct.
Or never.
At some point before noon.
Yeah.
Going to happen. Well, no, it will happen.
Oh, yeah.
We're not going to just deny people of the tickets we promised them.
No, we got tickets with your name on it out there.
Somebody's name?
Are. Yeah.
If you're listening and it's not you, then you're in trouble. John Hancock, Chris Ranji. We were talking about artificial intelligence, and I said that to me, it's not about being worried that AI is going to develop into Skynet and then kill us all by creating robots. I don't think that's what the concern is. The concern is, how do we replace all the jobs it will take?
Yeah.
Because it is going to take a lot of work from a lot of people. Now, there are going to be a lot of cases, and it's already happening now, where there are people who have jobs. Maybe they're entrepreneurs. Maybe they work for another company. And artificial intelligence can help them take care of the busy work so that it frees them up to do other things.
Sure.
That is a good use of the tool.
Yeah.
But there are other cases where, you know, you got a company who says, I want to design a logo. Instead of hiring a graphic designer, I'm just going to go to artificial intelligence and have them make me one. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, sure.
So then you're putting people out of work. Now, when that happens, we got a pretty serious problem because it's not going to be a gradual thing. This is going to happen very, very quickly. Colonel Ripper watches us on YouTube, and you can watch the show on YouTube as well. He says, people said that about the textile mill, the automobile, computers, all would put people out of work somehow we involved. Yeah, but also AI has the ability to do it at a exponential scale very, very, very quickly. It will not be gradual, and it might be tough for us to adjust to it.
This is different. It could be. But, you know, ours is a dynamic economy, and I hope it remains so. And people will continue to create, and the industries of tomorrow are things we can't even perhaps contemplate right now. And, you know, I think our texter is correct that the demise of the country has been predicted many a time over many a new invention that revolutionized things. But we do change and adapt. Ron, you may ultimately be correct that this is going to displace so many people, particularly in I'm thinking service industries, accountants, attorneys, you know, on and on and on, that they're not going to be enough jobs for people. I hope that's wrong. I think it's, you know, I'm not a fatalist about it, put it that way.
Well, I'm glad that you are you're seeing it differently.
I'm old too.
Is that why? We had somebody who texted in and said, "Man, I'm glad I'm old. I don't have to worry about artificial intelligence."
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I would like to be more optimistic about it. I just don't, like I said before and have said many times, I just do not trust the people who are responsible for creating these systems,
yeah,
and expanding them, that they have anything in mind other than let's see how far we can push it.
No, I think that's right. And how would you even begin to enforce any kind of, you know, a moral code or anything else on what are, I guess, glorified software developers? I mean, these people are creating, I don't know how the whole AI thing works, but it's all, at the end of the day, it's people are creating code and it's generating artificial intelligence somehow. And how do you regulate that, I guess, is my question.
And I don't know, but the thing is, it'll take a worldwide effort because AI is not being created just here.
No.
And it's happening everywhere. China, you know, all over the world, it is happening. So I don't know that we can stop what they're doing. We can't. It would have to take a worldwide collaborative effort from governments around the world getting together and putting in some sort of guardrails. Because I just don't, I'm sorry. I just don't trust these people.
If you're looking for the world to come together on something, I think you're barking up the wrong tree there, pal. I mean, I don't see that happening.
Couldn't even come together on a pandemic.
Right. Yeah.
Killing people.
Yeah. And so, you know, I don't think that's likely to happen. And, you know, do I want to open up this box now at 55 minutes after the hour? Maybe not, but I will.
Uh-oh. What the heck? Hear it.
Well, I mean, you know, one of the things I'm concerned about in the present day is America's retreat from global leadership, because that's a vacuum into which somebody else is going to step. And in fact, China is stepping into that vacuum.
You're talking about soft power.
I'm talking about all of it. Soft power, strong alliances. I mean, you know, you say what you will about Donald Trump. He has a very defined foreign policy. A lot of people love it. We shouldn't be the world's policeman. Why is America doing this? Why are we giving all that money away over here? I mean, he has a...
These are old ideas, by the way.
They've been
around my whole life.
They're very defined ideas. I think they're a mistake. And in a time of, you know, every age is a time of crisis. But America retreating from the global world leadership stage, as we are today, I don't think is good for the world. I really don't.
So what do you think the outcome of all this is in 5 years? Because in a couple of years, what, three now? What is it? 3 years we'll have a new president. It may be a Republican. It may be a Democrat. Don't know. If it's a Republican, I don't know if it's going to be a Trump kind of Republican. It might be.
If it's a Republican, it's likely to be a Trump Republican, because that's where the party's electorate is now, and the folks that the electorate choose are going to be, you know.
You don't think there'll be a snapback of any kind, any sort of correction?
I think the correction has happened. I think we've undergone, in both parties, a realignment, the likes of which we really last saw in the late 1970s into the early 1980s. And realignments come along at about that every 40-year clip in this country. And so I think we're not in the middle of one. I think we're through it at this point. And so, yeah, I expect the Republican Party is going to nominate someone who very much is like Donald Trump.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.